Well, 2 Peter, if you would, please. We're getting into chapter 2 tonight. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. Don't get your hopes up. We're not going to get that far. But we'll read the first 10 verses here of 2 Peter chapter 2. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently here. These first 10 verses. The Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." And as Peter wrote 2 Peter, he didn't write it as he, if you would, in book form, okay? He didn't choose a catchy title, it didn't have a publisher and a publishing house and all that, and it didn't have a foreword by another author or whatnot, and it didn't have a table of contents, and it didn't have page numbers, and things like that, and it certainly didn't have chapters and verses, okay? You understand that, all right? Didn't have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, etc. Okay, so it would behoove us, which I'm gonna use lots of great words tonight, because I do like playing with words. I don't like all the rule breakage of English, but when in Rome, kind of thing. So since English breaks all the rules, I'm gonna break all the rules, and I can have a lot of fun doing that. Amen. That's allowed, right? Yeah, and all the math teachers said amen. Okay, good. For English. Math, we don't break rules because math adheres to the rules. But when we're spiting English, we break all the rules we can, just for fun. Okay, now, but with that said, going back, please go back to chapter 1. I'm not going to re-preach anything out of chapter 1, but I want you to understand, put it in context, okay? He's talking, as he says in verse 12, he's not going to be negligent, right? They're established in the present what? Truth. Okay, the truth. And he says, look, I'm going to put you in remembrance. He says, these are not cunningly devised fables. This is the truth. I'm an eyewitness. This is Jesus Christ. This is salvation. This is the Word of God. He goes on to further say that we have this more sure word of prophecy. We have the Scriptures. They're not of private interpretation, and God gave them to us. This prophecy came not by the will of man, but by holy men of God, as they spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay, so that's not an ending of his thought. Please understand that, okay? He's continuing his thought as he moves into chapter 2. He's on this thing, and you can see the continuance by the word "but." Right? He says, I'm going to continue this. He says, I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm going to,
As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up in this truth. And I want you to know that this truth is valuable. It's not old wives' fables. It's not false teachings. It's the truth. It's delivered and given by God. And then he says, but there were false prophets also among the people. And that's the truth. Right? That's the truth. In the Old Testament, we know that there were false prophets among the people. By the way, even during Jesus' time, there were false prophets. And by the way, during the beginnings of the local church, there were false prophets. We're going to talk about many of those examples tonight. But, and then he says the statement, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So he said, there were some, there are some now, and there are going to be some in the future. It's just a true thing. Okay, can I tell you something? The false teachers are not going away. The false prophets are not going away. By the way, there are churches out there, and they say things like this. They say, well, God has given us a new prophecy. And some of them say, well, I'm an apostle. I'm apostle so-and-so. Well, big whoop-de-ding. I mean, I can call myself an apostle, I guess, if I really wanted to. But no, I can't. I can't. Duh. Because I don't meet the qualifications. Amen. And neither do you. Neither does anybody. Unless you lived when Jesus lived and saw him with your own eyeballs. That's kind of one of the qualifications. So you understand that these things, there's going to be people out there. And there's always going to be people out there until it's all over. When God makes all things new, and then these things are not going to exist anymore. These false teachers and sin and all this stuff, it's all going to be gone. But can I tell you something? That's not right now. So we need to be aware of these things. By the way, I think Peter doesn't hold back any punches here. He's pretty forward about this. He's pretty punchy about it. Because listen to what he says. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Okay, so these are things that are so not true, it's bad. Okay? And so he says they're going to do this, and they're going to bring in these damnable heresies. They're even going to deny the Lord that bought them. Now, check out this phrase. They're going to deny the Lord that bought them. That's interesting, isn't it? And as far as I've studied and as far as I know, it seems like these particular people he's talking about are saved people. Read the phrase, right? And they're going to deny the Savior that bought them. Can I tell you something? A lot of people have a hard time with this doctrine. I don't have a hard time with this. You know why? Because it's not mine to judge. But I believe in eternal security. And you can be saved and go to heaven and still deny the Lord that bought you and teach false doctrine and teach damnable heresies. You say, no, that's impossible. Who am I to judge this? It's not for me to judge. By the way, can you be saved and then go out and have a beer? You can. Can you be saved and go do some sexual sin? Yeah. Do you lose your salvation? No. So where do we get off setting the parameters for this? I just want to know. We don't get to set the parameters. Guess who gets to set the parameters? God does. Okay? And God sets the parameters as, if you're a son, you're a son. Now, does that mean there's no consequences? Absolutely not. We see here there's consequences. Grave consequences. But I just think it's curious that Peter says that they're denying the Lord that bought them. And then he says this, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now you understand the scriptures tell us that after salvation, there are some things that we can do in our flesh that will bring our life to an end maybe more quickly than it should have ended. Absolutely, right? But we need to be careful, if you will, to understand that one does not have to do with the other. Our tenure here in this physical life doesn't have anything to do with our spiritual salvation and our spiritual birth. Now, we ought to want to serve the Lord as long as we possibly can and as good as we possibly can. But it has nothing to do with our eternal salvation. That's a doctrine, if you will, that we believe that not a lot of other churches believe. It's of no merit. No merit means nothing good or nothing bad. So nothing good you can do to get it, and nothing bad that you can do to lose it. Because that's no merit, no merit. So these people, these false teachers, by the way, many of these false prophets were Israelites. Hello? But they were false prophets. They were among the people, but false prophets. Because they falsely prophesied didn't make them not an Israelite anymore. Y'all catch that? Same is true with these false teachers. Some of them are indeed unsaved, perhaps. And they're just trying to tear up the church. But some of them are saved, and they're now denying the Lord that bought them. And they're bringing in these damnable heresies. And by the way, they're also bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So, as we talk about this thing, we need to understand that Peter is setting up the church for success. He says, stick to the truth. The scripture is not of any private interpretation. It's not up to me to privately interpret the scriptures. Okay? The scriptures say what they say. They need to agree. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. That's paramount. And if we don't, that's false teaching. And it's false doctrines. And listen, you need to be careful by cherry picking verses and making your own doctrines. You do. You need to be careful about that. And listen, we need to make sure that we're rightly dividing the word of truth. So, as a church, he's saying, look, don't think that because things are going well, Christians, that there aren't false teachers, that there aren't wolves in sheep's clothing that are going to cut, that are, you know, they exist. And you need to watch out for them. Now look at verse 2. He says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's a fancy word, okay? It's a great word. The word pernicious simply means destructive. I have it on my paper here somewhere. It means destructive. It means tending to injure or destroy. Okay, that's what pernicious means. All right? So it's destructive. They're intending to be destructive. They're intending to injure. They're intending to destroy. Now, can I ask you a question? Who is it that wants to do that to us? The roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. You know that as a Christian, I can be fooled by the devil. Okay, now I cannot be possessed by the devil. You understand that doctrine, that truth, okay? I can't be possessed by the devil because the Holy Spirit lives within me. All right? But did you know that I can be fooled by the devil? I can be suckered by the devil. I can be sucker punched by him. I can buy into his lies and his temptations, and I can be deceived. is a born-again child of God. Let me just ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hands, but just think about this. Do you know of a Christian that's been deceived? And now all they do is spew lies and deceit and hatred and such and so forth. I do. Now, by the way, sometimes I would, if you will, being a human being, I would question the validity of their salvation to start with. Okay, now, by the way, I don't get to judge, but that is an option, right? Because how could someone who found salvation in Christ go back so far? You know, to even forget that the Lord saved them. It's, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying by that? But it's not for me to judge whether or not they were really saved in the first place. That's not my judgment call. Okay? Because that's between them and God. But I do need to be aware that the devil still is going to try to turn everything sideways. And if he can attack a born-again believer, a child of God that should be speaking truth, should be reflecting the light of Christ, should be following after God, being conformed to the image of his son, if he can derail me and get me to teach and speak lies and damnable heresies and deny the Lord, whoa, he's won a victory. You see how that works? And God says, look, I'm not going to let that go unjudged. He said, it's going to bring swift destruction upon them. But there are going to be many that follow those destructive ways. There's going to be many that follow those injurious ways. Hey, listen, it's no mistake that local churches and even churches like this one go through some terrible things like church splits because of damnable heresies, because of false teachers that creep in unawares and they try to lead people astray. It's happened here. And who knows, it may happen again. But we're going to fight against it. We're going to be on the lookout for it. At least I am. And my lookout has 9 chances before I reload. I don't take kindly for people messing with the sheep. We need to be careful of these things. Look at verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. That word feigned is just a fancy word for fake. Okay? Fake words. Untrue words. That's why when Paul says he appreciates Timothy and his family for having unfeigned faith. That means it's true faith, not fake faith. Folks, you know how we can tell when something is fake? When it doesn't match up with this. It's got to match up with scriptures. And I don't mind people saying, hey, pastor, what do you think about this? Or why does it say this? And this seems to not match with this and whatnot. Listen, let's hash it out. Because can I tell you something? I'm about to be 47 years old. Now that it's the best month of the year. And I'm about to be 47. And let me just tell you something. I don't know everything. And there are some of you in here that know more than I do. It's just the truth about lots of things. Now, I don't think anybody in here knows more about parenting 13 children than I do. Brother Nicholas is close, with including grandchildren and you know, daughters-in-law and those kinds of things. You're right there. So we have, and then math, we both have that too. So, but you're a much better coach than I am. So I only coach flag football. He got to coach real football. So. I'm not afraid to admit that. And can I be wrong about something? Sure I can. But that's why I want to stick as close to the book as I can. Because it's never wrong. And it's right. And like I said, I don't know if it was last week or other time before, when I'm wrong, it's right. And when I think it's wrong, it's right. Because it's not wrong ever. The book is right. So they use their feigned words, and listen to this. They make merchandise of us. He says, it's a business to them. I remember when they were going through and people were getting saved, and the guy got saved, right? And he was used to getting gain for using the spirits and all that. And the Bible says he got born again. All right, I'm not going to deny that. But then he saw what was happening, and he's a baby Christian. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know what he's saying. And he goes to him and says, look, tell me how to fill people with the Holy Ghost so I can do this. And he wants to use it for profit. And they said, look, no, man, you got this all wrong. And if you're going to have that attitude, you're going to be in big trouble. And so they use it as a teaching moment to teach him that that's not what it's about. But do you understand that these people, they're trying to make a profit, if you will, off this. They're trying to make a gain off of this for themselves. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's positional. But they're looking to better themselves. They're trying to uplift themselves and bring fame to them, their own name, if you will, and to steal from God. That's what they're trying to do. He says this, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So the Bible says that God's not going to let this go unpunished. In verse 3, he says that. And in verse 1, he says that as well. And then he goes on, and in verses 4, and in verse 5, and in verse 6, he gives three different examples that he's not going to let these things go unpunished forever. He talks about the fallen angels. He talks about the people in Noah's day. And he talks about the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? He gives three examples that says, look, I'm not going to let this go on. There is going to be judgment. There is going to be punishment for this. And I'm going to deal with it. Now, as we close tonight, and you guys are listening fantastically, because that was a great speedy introduction. Now, if you think about what Solomon says in Proverbs 6:19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These are things that God hates. God hates it. Let me ask you a question. Are we his people? His children? Is he our heavenly Father? Absolutely. Is he the king, and are we his servants? And people of his kingdom? If you're born again, the answer is yes. Okay? So how is the king going to feel about somebody messing with his kingdom and his servants? Bad, right? How is a father going to feel about people messing with his children? Yeah, not so good, right? Okay? So we have to understand, and if you will, let's think about this. If we're the body of Christ, right, and Christ is the head of the body, right, how is he going to feel about people messing with his body? Not good, right? I mean, would you let people just come up and mess with your body? No, and you're not going to feel good about that, right? This is my personal space. Stay out of my personal space, okay? Or my personal space is going to collide with your personal space. Okay? we're not doing that, right? So, he's not going to deal with that. He's not going to deal well with that, right? So he says, I hate these things. God, but by the way, folks, God hates lying. A lot of times, we kind of shrug off lying as not such a big deal. But don't forget that all liars have their place. Right? Come on now. In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Okay, this is the second death. He mentions lying. Why? Because he hates it. Oh yeah, the fearful, the abominable, all those, bad sins, right? Hello, lying's mentioned in that. God hates lying. And he hates those that sow discord among the brethren. He hates it. So here's a few passages of scripture that we can look at. In Jeremiah chapter 6, here's a record here, talking about these prophets, or these false prophets and false priests, if you will. He says, for from the least of them, he's talking about the people of God, God's people, the Israelites. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 through 16. He says, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. We studied this for a whole long time. I don't remember how long it was. Okay. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So if you think about Jeremiah 6:6, does that really sound any different than what Peter's saying here in 2 Peter chapter 2? Not really. He says there were false prophets among the people, right? They did deal falsely, and God brought swift destruction upon them. What did he say about these false priests and these false prophets that dealt falsely? He said, they shall fall among them that fall. And when I come and visit them, they shall be cast down. Same thing. Verse 1, verse 3. Their judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He gives the examples. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. And listen, God hates this. You say, well then why does he let it happen? Well, you understand that God made us with the freedom to choose. Okay? So it's not so much as God letting this happen as God has to let this happen, because that's how he created us. But by the way, is he going to judge it? Yes, he is. You say, when? In his own time. He's the sovereign. He gets to decide that. You and I don't get to decide that. Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel says this, thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar. By the way, there's a whole fun study about this thing of untempered mortar, okay? It wasn't fit to be used in building. Okay, it was fake mortar, if you will. Okay, it was faulty mortar. It wasn't strong enough to withstand because it was untempered. Okay? By the way, these lies and this deceit, they can't stand up against the truth. It's untempered mortar. So these people that have daubed this wall, he says this, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. By the way, you understand, Ezekiel wasn't a very well-liked prophet. Neither was Jeremiah. Okay, the people didn't like them very much. And so he says, prophesy against them. And this is a very, very curious passage of scripture. I encourage you to study it out in Ezekiel 13. But he says this, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. There's one of those exclamation points again. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls of live that come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? To slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live? By your lying to my people that hear your lies. That's pretty scathing, isn't it? And then he says, wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, Wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand. And they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hand of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Wow. God hates this stuff. And who's he talking to? He's talking to those that daub the wall. He's talking to the priests, and he's talking to the daughters of the people. These are people that are amongst them. They're the people of God. And they're doing this stuff. By the way, if you'll remember, I have several more passages here I could read. But if you remember, in Acts 15, the Apostle Paul had to deal with this. The church had to deal with this. Listen to this in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Says who? Who said that? Give me a scripture in verse. Give me the words of Jesus in red print that said that. I say that on purpose, okay? Huh? No. Jesus never said that. Where's that found in the scriptures? It's not there. And he said, and I love this. He says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. By the way, the Pharisee of all Pharisees has a problem with this. Because if you will, he was saved out of that junk. Don't you think he knows? Yeah. By the way, he went to the best Bible college that you could go to. It was called Jesus Baptist Bible College. Subtitled Wilderness Baptist Bible College. The Lord himself taught him. That's the one I want to go to. I think he knows. By the way, he says, look, all of my righteousness is nothing. He says, what Christ has for me is way better than anything else. So he said, I have, and I love how the Bible puts this, no small dissension and disputation with them. In other words, they were like, ah! I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I don't think I agree with that. They're like, that's not true! Yeah, they, big deal. Look, Sebastian knows that I'm capable of this. We were speaking with a gentleman, and he started saying some wacky things, and I just couldn't help myself, Sebastian. I'm like, that's a lie. I know that's not very tactful at the door. I understand that, but I had had enough. I mean, this guy, he said that he actually saw the bread turn to flesh and bleed. I'm like, I said, that's a lie. I had no small dissension and disputation with the man, okay? When you've had enough, you've had enough. The tact goes out the window, okay? I'm sorry. But I was trying to be tactful up to that point. But no, no. Are you kidding me? That if you're except to be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved? I'd be shouting about that. And so should you. So they took it down in the course of the church, right? You understand that? And they went through all this stuff. They came through and they understood and they figured it out. But can I tell you something here, folks, today? This lie that was brought to the point of scripture in Acts 15 is still around today. And there are still people, even some born again people that are following this hook, line, and sinker. Oh, we got to become Jews. Oh, we got to follow the laws of Moses in order to prove our salvation. That's not what the scriptures say. That's a lie. Folks, there's false teachers out there. We've got to be aware of it. In Psalm 119, David says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Now, don't forget where I started. No chapters, no verses. He talks about the perfect word of God and says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." I told you, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, there's other places that talk about in the scriptures. By the way, I didn't even read the whole chapter of Jeremiah 23, verses 9 through 40. Isaiah 28, Micah chapter 3. I read Jeremiah, I read Ezekiel. Then in the New Testament, Titus 1, 1 Timothy 6. Good grief, I have too many scriptures here. Deuteronomy 13, that's the Old Testament. Acts 20, Paul was telling the preachers, "After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." By the way, pernicious, right? Injure, destroy. He says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." In 128 of Psalm 119, David says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." You know, false teachers oftentimes have an evil ambition and desire for material gain. False teachers, they want to draw men unto them, their own selves. They have this power bug they want to feed. They just want to be the leader of people. It makes them feel good, I guess. I don't know. I'm a little nervous, kind of like Solomon was about leading God's people. I don't want to mess it up because they're not my people. You know, y'all aren't my people. You know that, right? I mean, you're my people, but you're not my people. You're God's people. I'm God's people. I carefully pray over these things because I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I don't want to lead anybody down the wrong path. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to speak the word of God as He wants it to be spoken. I'm scared because you know what? God can kill me. I know that. We need to be careful. These people, they don't care about that, do they? Because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They've turned from that. See, even where they're denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. False teachers end up dooming people to eternal judgment. You understand that if a false teacher turns someone, they're going to become like that false teacher. And sure, they may be saved, but they're going to suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Or, if they're not yet saved, they're going to be damned to hell because they won't get saved because of the false teaching. That's a bad thing. And we've got to understand that's what false teaching does. And false teachers have many followers. You know what Paul said? He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." You know, this is going to be more and more prevalent as we see the day approaching. You know what pains my heart? It pains my heart to see less and less Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. You know why it pains my heart so? Because these prophecies are coming true. That in these last days, there are going to be less and less people that follow the truth. And I hate to see that. And by the way, I'm going to fight for it till my dying day. Because I know it's the truth. And I'm like Peter, where I'm not going to be negligent. And as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I think it's right stirring people up and putting them in remembrance of these things. I'm going to stand for these old paths. Like God said for these people. He said, look, you're not completely done away with. He said, stand ye in the way, right? See, return to the old paths. Make it right. Don't forget the promise in Scripture is there that if we come back to Him, He'll cleanse us. He'll forgive us. He'll restore us. God's in the restoration business. And even a false teacher, they can get right. It's possible. But they're going to have to come back to God. They're going to have to undeny the Lord. They're going to have to remember who it was that saved them. So we've got to understand that these false prophets are here and will be here. It's just a fact. And we've got to know and understand them. Now, in closing, let me just say this. And you guys are listening fantastically tonight. This must be a new record. We're told in Scriptures that we need to be aware of the devices of the devil. We do not need to be ignorant of his devices. We need to know what these people say. That's why it's good, folks, to study. Yes, we need to study the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. But listen, let me encourage you. Find some good Bible classes. Some good books. If you want some good books, you can see me. I'll give you some good books. But you need to understand these cults and these people that are sneaking into churches and trying to draw people away. You ought to know what a Seventh-day Adventist believes. You ought to know what the Catholics believe. You ought to know what these other groups out there that are trying to steal people away, like Islam and such, that you ought to study and know the enemy. Because here's what I need to hear. When I talk to people and I ask them questions, I'm listening for little key words. Oh, that's this doctrine. Oh, that's that's what these people believe. Oh, that's what hello? Because how am I going to be able to know if there's a false teacher out there? Because guess what? I'm settled in the truth. And I'm grounded in the truth. And I know why I believe what I believe. But we've got to be aware. We've got to sniff out these things. We need to be careful. I believe Peter wanted the church to know, be on your toes. These people are out there. And they're deceptive. And they're trying to get into the church. And they're trying to destroy it. They want to not only destroy the church, but they want to injure you and maybe even see you dead. By the way, read the Quran. Yeah. Don't let anybody tell you that it's only the radical Islamists that believe those things. It's what their book says. That if you don't believe in Allah and Islam, you should die. Just ask some of our missionaries that are in Islamic countries. They're afraid for their lives every day. They don't want things posted online because they could be killed. It's real. And we've got to be aware of these false teachers.